You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Richard Turley. Richard, thanks so much for being with me today.
No problem. It's a pleasure.
Richard, you're in New York now. Tell me a little bit about what's happening. What are you involved in at the moment? I imagine it's more than one thing.
It's a few things. In terms of my work life, I work for an ad agency called White & Kennedy. I work on their global team, which means that I kind of go around to one of our whichever one of our eight offices sort of needs my help, I guess. We're working on kind of pitches and talking about design and how we can kind of how we think about design and kind of talk about design. So that's my main job. I'm also the editorial director of Interview Magazine. I produce occasionally kind of produce my newspaper called Civilization. A few things, and I guess I've got a few things on the back burner, but those are the things that I mostly identify at the moment as being things that I do.
So we could talk about all of those, but I'm curious to ask, what is on the back burner? Is there something that you normally...
No, there's nothing on the back burner that I feel I can go talk about. I'm just exploring a few sort of digital things. I'll tell you. I'm trying to sort of reinvent a kind of personal version of Instagram, because I just came off that platform kind of recently, now sort of about the middle of last year, and I kind of just miss looking at pictures, and I'm working with this guy at Google just to sort of see if there's a version of Instagram that we can kind of make which is less about sharing stuff and just more about looking at stuff. So I mean, that, I suppose that's kind of intriguing, isn't it? I mean, but like, yeah, that's one of the little back burner projects I have. But I kind of try and just do things like this and work with people and just kind of explore ideas with different people. So that's one of my kind of more sort of.
So I'd like to talk about design in Interview Magazine, but I also want to talk about Civilization. Can you tell me a little bit about that and when the next issue is coming out?
I don't know when exactly the next issue is coming out, because the last issue kind of destroyed me, in all honesty. I mean, doing Civilization is kind of like doing this kind of strange, huge, abstract jigsaw puzzle with no kind of real conclusion. It's concluded when it's finished, but it's quite torturous to design. The first one was very enjoyable. The second one was enjoyable at the start and was just awful towards the end. And I haven't quite been able to resuscitate my enthusiasm to kind of get involved in that enormous kind of jigsaw puzzle project again. But Lucas has been kind of bugging me for ages and is trying to meet up with me to sort of, you know, because he's kind of commissioned a lot of stuff. So it'll happen. I mean,
tell me a little bit about that setup, because I love the format of it and what's happening with Civilization, but how does that work? That's commissioned, or...
Well, it's really just like me and Lucas the first couple of issues was just me and, sort of stitching together notes, recording, field recordings of kind of just being in New York, interviews, specific new interviews with people that we were kind of interested in. So it starts with that, and then those are almost the kind of large jigsaw pieces that kind of get put into the pages, and then around those we try and scatter as much, and I suppose there's still field recordings and sort of metadata, and just to try and kind of try and kind of grope towards some sort of physical print-based experience of living in sort of New York, I suppose, and living on your phone and being kind of part of the city but removed from it, in the way that being on our phone does remove us from kind of physical location somehow. And just to try and kind of compress and merge all those different messages that arrive at you and around you, and then introduce kind of people into that. So the idea was really just for that to be a kind of a tapestry of kind of words and Tapestry of words, actually, which is, I suppose that's the other part of civilization, which was, you know, trying to kind of, you know, we live in such a sort of picture-based society now. You know, all our media is, well, not all our media, but kind of so much of, you know, this kind of grazing, picture-based way of digesting content. And I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to see if you can kind of get the same sort of frequency of, you know, of image, of, or trying to find an equivalence with words as we sort of experience pictures now. And so instead I have kind of pages which are just entirely kind of formed of text, but to break those up so they're very kind of digestible. I mean, in kind of magazine parlance, I suppose we're introducing lots of entry points. So it's a sort of a newspaper full of entry points.
Interesting. I mean, I think also that, you know, the format of it, you talk so much about our mentioned a number of times our, the way we interact with a phone in terms of physical place and what that means in terms of, you know, skimming information and how much we go into depth. And here is this, you know, this newsprint magazine, right? That's a very large format. Isn't that the size of, it's almost the size of the New York Times. Or is that the exact size or is it a different size?
It's bigger, I think. I think it's bigger than the right. Times. Yeah, yeah. It's whatever full broadsheet is and means. But yeah, I think it's a little wider than the Times, maybe even a little taller too.
I mean, there's something so exciting. It seems almost like a paradigm of, you know, kind of artistic ambition, this, you know, and it's been mentioned in poems before, like, let's start a magazine, let's make a magazine. And I think that's maybe the initial impulse of interview, although I don't really know its very beginnings, other than, of course, with Andy Warhol. But civilization seems to also have that kind of that energy. Let's make a magazine, and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of, I mean, interview coming out, Civilization was kind of quite an interesting, it was an interesting mix. But I mean, I suppose just talk about, I think there was a parallel, I mean, there's more of a parallel between the two than I realized and when I started sort of helping them out on interview, you know, just
between
seeing
which
the,
two? Between Interview Magazine and Civilization?
Between Interview and Civilization. Basically, the kind of the guys at the Interview became curious about me because of Civilization. And I didn't really sort of understand just how kind of similar the thinking was, really. I mean, Interview, as there's nowhere in the reason for Interview is set in stone anywhere and kind of written down as being kind of these are the specific reasons. But for me, there seems to be two threads for that magazine, which was one, the advent of tape recorders. You know, people were taping each other, you know, in much the same way as they're kind of taking Polaroids of themselves. It was a kind of a faddish thing to do, to kind of to turn up to a party with a, you know, with a tape recorder and, you know, and record it. And people, you know, people kind of do this for kind of a pleasure and just to record these events. Not, I don't think with any kind of big, with a kind of an ulterior motive, but, you know, it was just to record them. And so, you know, that was kind of central to the, and then, you know, the magazine was kind of born out of technology, essentially. And I think that Civilization was kind of born out of technology too, or maybe was a response to technology. And so there's this kind of a small kind of parallel there between all the, you know, the way that I sort of interpreted what we were doing on Civilization and what we kind of ended up doing, you know, or what, you know, Warhol was doing. I mean, the other thing about the Interview was that, you know, it was
a
enormous. Well, it's just like it was a con, you know. My understanding of the Warhol was not particularly interested in the magazine, particularly, other than, you know, what he liked about it was it gave him access to people that he would then try and sell paintings to, you know, that it was a kind of a con, you know, not a con, it was a, you know, there was a, you know, again, there was this sort of ulterior motive around the magazine that kind of introduced him to a kind of a different type of person that he could sell his paintings to or sell his portraiture to. So, you know, I think, those two things I kind of hold, you know, this idea of technology, this old idea of there being a kind of an ulterior kind of motive to the magazine are two things that we kind of explore, and I'm trying to kind of explore personally.
Well, I always thought also maybe there's something to Warhol's intentions as a, of course, promoting his work and perhaps way of seeing, but there was also something, maybe cliquish isn't quite the right word, but in the same way, you know, the factory assembled all these interesting artists that he liked to collaborate with in a number of different ways, and there was a, you know, a feeling of glam about the whole thing. I mean, I suppose it was a red time of glam rock and all of that. That the magazine itself, I always remember reading it and thinking, at least older issues, and thinking, like, who are these extraordinarily glamorous people that I've never met, you know, that seem sort of, you know, outsized.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're probably right, you know, and I think that one of the kind of the challenges of kind of producing a magazine like Interview Now is the fact that those predictions of 50 minutes of fame and, you know, have come completely true, you know, and you know, you don't really need a magazine like Interview, really. You just, you know, those 50 minutes of people, those people are having that fame on Instagram and having that fame on kind of social media channels and kind of entirely, you know, unreliant on kind of traditional kind of media. And so our kind of, you know, I don't know if our job is or what our job is really, but that's certainly something that we kind of bear in mind and kind of talk about a lot, was just, you know, the way that those people, you know, you don't need a magazine to leverage sort of attention on yourself anymore. You know, you can you get that yourself.
So then what remains? I mean, why the magazine? You know, you're so enmeshed, as I suppose we all are, but you're coming from a design point of view and looking at all these things where, 15 minutes now means something quite a bit different. It's, you know, a viral video or something like that. It's very clear. And all this information is being shared so quickly. In terms of design, what is the role of the magazine? I mean, when I look at something like Civilization or Interview, what attracts me as an artist, as someone who's interested in the arts also, is its physicality, is images. I mean, even in the New York Times, now they have these huge spreads sometimes of photographs, and I think, wow, you know, this is what print's for, like giant images that you just can't see online unless you have a huge monitor, right? I mean, and even that, you'd really have to have it projected or something with some of them. But that's also coming at it from the point of view of being so interested in visual culture. So what does it do for the rest of the world, who's mostly interested in phones as where we're getting all our information from, including visual culture? We're typically not drawing people to large images and actual art or even reading.
Well, I think kind of answered your own question. I mean, it's like, you know, in part that I think the kind of the thing I'm drawn to, and the thing that people, you know, probably a diminishing kind of a group of people are kind of drawn to is scale. Actually, the both things. I mean, the interview is actually going to go back up to kind of quite a big format in the next issue. And so kind of just, you know, you get to experience media at a different pace and a different scale and a different, you know, and a kind of a different tone than you do kind of online. I mean, I can't make a case for magazines, you know. I mean, like, you know, but one of the reasons I'm doing this is pure indulgence, if I'm being honest with you. That, you know, I'm kind of shocked that it's 2019, is it? 2019, and I'm being asked to kind of help out in a magazine. You know, it kind of feels ridiculous almost. It feels kind of, you know, in kind of indulgent and sort of, you know, but that is a primary motivator. You know, that's a primary motivator for me, just to wallow in kind of print, and, you know, and to feel, you know, to have the, you know, to have that kind of relationship with kind of, well, a physical relationship that you have with media. I still, again, on a really kind of personal level, I find really important. You know,
but that also seems to be something. I mean, I didn't mean to kind of put down so many people who maybe are not so interested in visual culture, but they're looking at their phones. But there's also attraction to all of those people too of the magazine. We're talking about it as people who are, you know, visually interested. I'm into printmaking and letterpress and bookmaking and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So these sort of formats fascinate me, but also for people who aren't so interested in design, printmaking, format, there's also another appeal, right? It's there's something enormously novel about it, in a way.
Yeah. I don't know if this is terrible to admit this, but I don't really care I'm doing it for purely selfish reasons. You know, I'm doing it because I really enjoy print design. You know, I've become very interested in sort of Victorian design recently, and kind of Victorian kind of typography, and kind of this has enabled me to kind of explore that sort of, you know, my interest in that, and kind of, you know, so I mean with all my projects really, there's something kind of incredibly selfish and singular about what I'm maybe doing one thing, but I'm kind of doing another, really, you know. And certainly with kind of with interviews specifically, I'm, you know, just really sort of marinating in, you know, in kind of this kind of Victorian sort of, you know, vernacular, and well, not maybe not Victorian vernacular, but I'm kind of, you know, the typography that we're using, and kind of, you know, the scale of the magazine. So I suppose my interest in it is kind of around that, and you know, I think other people are interested in it. I mean, we're getting kind of quite good feedback from it, but like, I don't really have. And I suppose when you're young and stuff, you really want to feel like you're going to change the world, and you know that what you're doing is kind of has some kind of immense cultural importance, and it's sort of, it becomes important for you to sort of to believe that about your work, or believe that about your kind of job and kind of where you're going, to kind of give you this sort of mandate almost that you know, to find meaning and stuff. But like, I don't really feel like that anymore. I mean certainly with kind of interview, it's as I said, a kind of a pure indulgence. It's just looking, you know, taking a magazine, kind of, you know, taking that magazine format, being as kind of in some ways as simple as we can with it, and as kind of reductive as we can be with it, and kind of celebrating the scale of it, celebrating the size, and the kind of the feeling of kind of flicking through it, and you know, yeah, I suppose. And if people, I mean, and that's just my kind of enjoyment, and then if other people are enjoying it too, that's kind of cute, that's good. But I don't know, I want to come over as kind of completely self-centered and narcissistic, but you know, I suppose I am essentially self-centered and narcissistic, so, you
know. Well, but at the same time, I understand what you're saying. I mean, that's very that's very candid of you, but at the same time, you're developing a product that's literally meant for everyone else to consume. It's not as though you're making a canvas that may or may not be sold. You're pitching designs for the company that you work for, and you're developing, you know, editorial content and design content for Civilization and Interview. It's all meant for other people to read, right?
Well, kind of. I mean, look, it kind of reminds you of something I've realized, another kind of sort of meta layer, if you like, of my work and practice at the moment, is that, you know, since I mentioned earlier that I kind of came off Instagram and I stopped, you know, I've really sort of really kind of cut back how, you know, my kind of social media kind of consumption, if you like. And, you know, and one of the things I've realized is that I was doing, you know, that our work and sort of social media is kind of created this really strange kind of dynamic where we, you know, where this kind of perpetual focus group where we kind of, you know, we have, or maybe not even a focus group of this kind of, you know, we do something, we do a piece of work, and we kind of put it out into the world, and people hit the like button or kind of hit a comment and kind of have a kind of reaction to it. And I just, you know, I don't know, I was just kind of very aware that I was doing that, and very aware from coming off it that I just wanted to sort of to try and reestablish a sort of a slightly different relationship with my own work as a consequence of it, because, you know, this sort of validation kind of loop that we're in, and that kind of that forces kind of ideas through it, and the way that we sort of, you know, think about work being successful if it kind of hit a certain metric, or it kind of if it attained a certain audience, it's become really kind of quite boring to me. You know, I really want to, you know, I'm kind of quite selfish.
How do you balance those things? Because that's such an interesting idea, right? With the whole digital culture we're in, everything seems to be about metrics and comments and likes and counts and reach. And, you know, the idea of doing something just because this is what you want to do.
Well, that used to, because I mean, I'm kind of old enough to have kind of grown up before the internet, and that was what it was like when I first started out. We were not trying to impress a whole group of people. You know, we were trying to impress people. We were just trying to impress the person on the other side of the table from us at work. You know, our kind of focus group was much more kind of like limited. You know, it was about making the guy of the, you know, the guy or the girl or kind of whatever laugh you know, around the table that we were working at, not trying to kind of energize in a whole sort of subsect of society. It was really very much more kind of like limited audience that we were kind of considering, you know, when we kind of made stuff. And sort of reminding myself that that was the case, and reminding myself, you know, that there was a different, we had a different relationship to success, and, you know, and making things. And I suppose I coming at that specifically from a magazine background, because the days that I'm recalling there are kind of when I worked in sort of small magazines and at The Guardian and places like that, where, you know, we were really only cared about what the other people in the building, you know, felt about that kind of product, or felt about what we were, you know, what we were doing. And, you know, they just felt it was a little bit freer as a result of it, I think, you know. And I'm not trying to be overly
nostalgic. That's so interesting, yeah. I mean, you know, that brings to mind, I remember, if I'm getting this correctly, a lecture about Milton Glaser and his work on Rolling Stone magazine. And it reminds me a little bit maybe of even your interest in Victorian design, but how he said he was approaching every spread of Rolling Stone like it was the Gutenberg Bible. You know, these huge initial letters and all kinds of things. And yeah, you would think like who is that for? It kind of makes sense the way you're saying it. It's the people on the other side of the table. It was kind of wowing and fantastic.
We just didn't have the opportunity to really get that sort of feedback, you know, and to be in that loop. And I suppose, and again, you know, you can kind of make kind of positive and negative comments around that. I mean, maybe it's entirely good that, you know, your audience now is able to kind of feedback and react in real time, you know. And honestly, I'm not making a judgment about that particularly, but, like, you know, I'm again just like thinking about me really, and sort of like how I operate and how I make things, and, you know, designers, or as a designer, that I'm essentially a maker of things. And you know, and I'm certainly probably just sort of, you know, cyclical in the way that I approach, you know, that I approach kind of my own kind of process. And so, you know, the cycle that I'm in at the moment is one which is, you know, just trying to make myself happy. And I mean, actually, to be honest with you, I've always really made myself happy. So, I mean, you know, I think I've had interests and I've had ways that, you know, themes that I enjoy kind of exploring. And I'm kind of a little bit sort of sluttish with the way that I sort of jump between ideas and kind of people and kind of interests. But, you know, but as I said at the moment, you know, that's certainly kind of like one theme I have at the moment, is just like not really caring about what people think.
So then what happened with Civilization? You did Civilization, and you said it was kind of, I mean, for such a kind of a pet project, if I can say that, something so idealistic, why was it so draining, so exhausting, and seems almost impossible to do again?
Well, because it's just like, there's about 75,000 words in the thing, and it's 16 pages, sort of three of which are sort of ones that cover.
It's like a novel.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as as I say, it's a big abstract jigsaw puzzle, because, you know, it may seem kind of completely random and sort of that we've just started at one end and finished at the other. But what I'm trying to do all the time is kind of create these vibrations between different pieces of content. So you're seeing one thing next to another, you know, two totally sort of separate thoughts next to each other, you know, so that you have to engineer, honestly, you know. You have to kind of, you know, you have to kind of continually move pieces around and kind of shift things. And so you don't want two kind of pieces on, you know, I don't know, you don't want anything too familiar, and you don't want anything too similar next to each other. And so the act of kind of, and as a new piece of content comes in and is placed, then that might knock out something else, and that's, you know, so it's this, I don't know if I'm doing a good enough job of kind of describing the kind of the process, but, you know, if you know,
well, you are, it's just why it was so impossible to do another one. I mean, that does sound exhausting,
well,
but it also sounds exciting.
It's exhausting. It just requires a mindset of just of wanting to complete. I think, and also, like, that I had a lot of enthusiasm for it at the start, and like this, I knew the second one would be difficult, and we did a really good job of just about getting it, we got it about three quarters finished, and then interview came up, and for both me and Lucas, we got kind of pulled into that, and so as a result of that, we just had to kind of kick Civilization down the corridor a little bit. And then by the time I came back to it after doing the first issue of Interview, which was like, you know, I'm trying to do that and kind of tandem with my day day job, and it was over the summer. So, and, you know, by the time I kind of came back from it, and I just was desperate to complete it, it was, you know, it just became a little bit overwhelming finishing it and just needing it to be done. And I'm still somewhat in the kind of the after sort of shock of still the aftershock of that, actually, if I'm being honest with you, because it just was kind of very draining finishing it. That's not to say we won't do another one. I mean, me and Lucas were texting today about kind of, you know, about meeting up and just trying to figure out the next one, and, you know, and there's stuff that's kind of in the pipeline, but it's just like, I don't know, I think I need to be in a specific mental place to begin that thing again.
That's almost part of the language of putting together a magazine, isn't it? I mean, years ago I put together published a magazine by myself with my girlfriend in Rhode Island, and I remember it being, we had a pretty tight schedule. One came out every 2 weeks. It was local interviews, all kinds of stuff. It was whatever we wanted. Mm-hmm. But always the last night before we brought it to press, we were up all night. I mean, it was exhausting the next day, you know. We'd almost get into an accident picking up, dropping off the boards or whatever. It was always like that. And I always thought, God, can't I just go to bed at like midnight one of these
times? Yeah, but then I think you just described the addictive quality of print, of magazines. And you, I mean, if people, you know, if you like, I mean, I don't know, if you, the, you know, the frustrations and the late nights and the kind of the insanity of the whole project is kind of like heroin, really, you know. It kind of, it gets to you. I mean, if you're someone who's a sucker for that stuff, then, you know, just, you know, the, you know, it's communicating with people, it's setting ideas down in kind of on a kind of printed page in a certain sort of way, and kind of getting into people's brains, and that is very seductive. Well, I found it very, very seductive. I suppose you can do it much more kind of quickly now on the internet and stuff. You can kind of just like post a picture or whatever. But, you know, there's still, for me, there's something about the arrangement of type and the arrangement of kind of a picture on a page, and the emotions that you can kind of draw people into, which is still, you know, very seductive. And I, you know, whether that's civilization or interview or anything, it's kind of an honor, honestly, and without sounding too highfalutin, but it's kind of an honor just to feel that you, I mean, certainly with interview at the moment, I feel very, very honored to be able to, you know, to communicate with people and to I mean, Mel, he's kind of my partner in crime and interview, just to be able to work with him and to kind of to take his images and kind of create sort of frames for them, and to you know, that it's, you know, again, very indulgent and very enjoyable, which is also, by the way, the, I can always remember, like, the print industry was collapsing, that, you know, the people who really wanted to keep the print industry going were the kind of the print journalists and the, you know, people involved in making magazines, because they're just so much damn fun, you know. It's so much fun.
Right. You know that E.E. Cummings poem, Let's Start a Magazine?
I don't.
I have it in front of me. Let me read it to you, because you may enjoy it. It goes like this. Let's start a magazine. To hell with literature. We want something red-blooded, lousy with pure, reeking with stark, and fearlessly obscene, but really clean. Get what I mean? Let's not spoil it. Let's make it serious. Something authentic and delirious. You know, something genuine, like a mark in a toilet, graced with guts and gutted with grace.
It's amazing. I've never heard that. I'm shocked that I've never heard that. I had goosebumps listening to that. Proper chills running up and down. It's exactly right. It's completely right.
That tremendous excitement about making a magazine. So I guess I shouldn't ask you when the next issue is coming out. Is there anything you want to seed before I ask you the last question about civilization for listeners? Should they pick up a copy, be looking for one, or not think about it anymore?
If they're looking for one, then well, I mean, yeah, we've still got some issue ones and twos to say. I mean, I think issue three will probably, I mean, it's realistic it's going to be a couple of months before issue three is out, but it's kind of coming out. I mean, if you want to get a copy, I think you can kind of go to, I don't think I've ever typed civilization into Google, but I hope it will go to a big cartel site if you want to buy it direct.
I'll put a link in the
put a link in. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Let me ask you what you're reading now. I'm always curious what people are reading. It's my last question.
I'm reading a book called Nathaniel's Nutmeg, which is a story. Well, not a story. It's a historical novel about the spice trade in the sort of 17th, 18th century. That is what I'm reading currently. I have lined up a biography of I don't, I'm quite into biographies at the moment. I haven't really kind of thought about that. But a biography of, God, what's his name? Sorry, it's late here. I'm tired. Of John Belushi. I think it's called Wired or something. But at the moment, yeah, Nathaniel's Nutmeg.
Richard, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today and for producing Civilization and the other work.
No problem. Thanks. Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.